I'm Madison Chase. I got my homegirls and my homeboys in the place to be. We're doing Issa Rae's HBO Insecure. Stay tuned. I got some special guests in the house. P.E. That's P.E. Cortez G. Oriana Lee. E-E-E-N. I know it's terrible. Okay, stay tuned.
It was great, girl. I tried, right?
You did a fantastic job.
Okay.
Hey, so I'm Madison Chase again. You can find me on Twitter. We'll do that after. But we're going to jump right into talking about one of my favorite shows, Issa Rae's HBO Insecure. Everybody introduce yourself.
Y'all like that background?
Hi, I'm Paula Bryan Dallas.
Y'all like the background?
That was good, Cortez.
Cortez has his own show right now.
Oh, what's going on, everyone? Oh, so it's good to be back. Oh, what camera am I? Where am I at? Where am I?
Right here.
Hey, y'all. What's going on? Cortez G. West. What's up? I'm sitting next to me. It's the beautiful.
Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram Oriana Leo. Sorry, I always be plugging.
What?
Always be plugging.
What's up, y'all? Courtney Stewart in the building. Stewart Starlet everywhere.
Stewart Starlet. Okay, I'm Madison Chase Fit on Twitter and on YouTube. One Mad Chase. So let's talk about this show. I had to do a rap in honor of Issa Rae, otherwise known as Issa D on the show.
Yes, I like that.
Let's talk about the intro, y'all. Yeah. I'm like so excited that the images of all of the shots are South LA. Like she is rebranding what we think of South LA the hood. It's completely different than what we've seen. So my favorite shot was, you know, we've seen Randy Donuts like everywhere. Like we've totally seen that. But when have we ever seen Slauson Avenue?
Now that you just say that, that's wig shop was on Crenshaw, just so you know.
Well, I actually read a Slate article that was talking about how amazing this show is to show how diverse LA is instead of all of these amazing, you know, completely white shows we have with Transparent and a bunch of other, I'm sure they're good, but they're showing the same old LA, over and over. So this is really refreshing.
Yeah. And they showed the forum, an airplane going over. Like normally when we see airplanes, it's going over LAX, not the Great Western Forum. True. So I was like super excited to see that. So So the first scene, favorite scene, Issa Rae at school with a bunch of kids.
We got y'all rocking black face.
Like literally, how in the world were they able to get every stereotype that black people have heard either from other black people or from other people that are not black? She got them all in through the kids, which I thought was so
out of the mouth.
Shout out
brilliant
to the writers.
Oh my god,
shout out to the writers. Brilliant writing.
Yes. Okay, so favorite part of that scene in particular, anybody? Blackface.
But when she turned over and said, That's dope. That was good.
And I love when she said the pay less. You paid less for that outfit. I was like,
But she just stood there like,
I
felt so bad for her, especially the whole, are you single?
She got called out on every single thing and to be disarmed like that by a bunch of kids.
That was good, right?
She came back and answered all their questions. She said, boom!
I love when the little girl said, and so what's up with your hair?
And then when she said something about the bitter black woman, she was like, ain't nobody checking for bitter black woman. I was like, why are you talking about
me? BBW.
That was good.
And
then she said, black women aren't willing to settle for less. And I'm like, that is so true. Because I think a lot of times as black women, when you're in relationships and trying to date, you get told by your friends who are in unhappy relationships. Like Paula had to tell me. She was one of my consultants. She was like, Madison, are your standards that low? I was like, no. Okay, so let's
get... But you know, I want to just... One of the things that is brilliant about that scene is it set the stage for everything.
It did. That was brilliant writing.
Yeah. I just can't. I mean, I was just sitting there going, wow, that was so powerful. Yeah. There's so much to feed off of that. Show after show after show.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So The second scene, we see her getting coffee. Mm. We got y'all. She's getting coffee. And Paula, this is one of your favorite lines.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So, Issa, what is on fleek?
What is on fleek? Is that expression great? Right?
She's on fleek.
I don't know.
And then you hear that subconscious saying, I don't know what that shit is. I can tell you. I've probably done that 1,000 times. I love that. Yes.
But how she put that cup down was really garbage. She's like, I know this bitch. Did
okay, let's get real about this. Dude, white people really do that to you?
Yes.
All the time.
You guys, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, you're white?
In my defense, my father, we watched Soul Train every Saturday my entire life. Growing up. So, and listen to Al Green. I have a little bit of soul, like just enough to know that I am privileged. Okay.
Pretend you're trying to check out a booty.
Yeah, you saw that, right?
Just wait till after. But what I really want to say, though, is that I wanted to get this out at the beginning so that we can have a really comfortable experience here. I got half a master's degree in education. Mm-hmm. And when I got halfway through and I realized what is really going on, I was so disgusted. And there's actually a word they say in the documentation, torpified. When you, as a white person or any person that has privilege, you open your eyes and you realize that moment, oh my God, everything in my life has been privileged.
Yeah.
Everything.
Oh,
it is
wow.
horrifying and mortifying. And then I was just stunned, but I couldn't move forward. I could not be a part of a system that we know.
Inherently.
I have goosebumps. I'm disgusted. But that's my background.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm coming into this as kind of like the litmus test. I'm asking questions that may seem really stupid, but we're going to have people at home. Let's educate the white folks.
So you're going to be the token white person.
I'm the token whitey. I'd like to be the friendly traffic cop for those that may be less aware.
I love it.
Let's open up the conversation and get people understand.
Do you have other black friends?
Yes.
Are your black friends like black, or are they white?
Are they like Ben Carson black?
Are they like the show black?
They're color black, but they might be Oreos if we were judging on high school standards.
Okay. True test.
Yes.
Have they been to your house?
Yes.
Have you been to their house?
Yes, I've been to their house.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
All right. So let's carry on. I just want to put that out there. Just to show.
I'm taking you out. We're going to San Vicente. That's where we go. We're going to San Vicente.
Well, welcome. You're the token. It's okay. But you did a disclaimer. Okay, so. Now, we're moving on. So we got to talk about Raphael Sadiq and the music.
Nice.
And Salon.
Phenomenal
music. Yes. Cortez can sing. Yes. Okay, get it, Cortez.
You
have a little
moment. What's in his cup?
Okay, so now we meet Molly. We got to hurry up.
Oh, my God, yes.
We meet Molly, and Molly is played by Yvonne Orji, who is an amazing comedian, and she has another show that Issa Rae actually helped produce called First Gen, because she's a first generation African-Nigerian descent. And so we meet her, and I love, but my favorite scene, because I'm like, this is so me. So her co-worker, who is Asian, is dating a black dude. And I have so many friends who are this. Like, I have a friend that looks like Jennifer Lopez, and she dates all the black dudes that I would want to date. But her monologue is, black dudes only check for Native Americans, Asian Americans, Latinos, Mexicans, Indians, white chicks, mixed chicks. And she was like,
except for black chicks.
Everything
somehow that was excluded.
I like how Diane says under her breath, she goes, he said I was the first.
First, yes! Yeah. Don't you love that? And I was like, no, you're probably
right. She was hard when
she
was.
Away. She really was.
Her feelings were hurt.
Yeah.
And then she gets the text from Hassan, the Arab dude.
Yes.
And he breaks up with her. Like, that is so 2016 where people are
texting.
Break up text.
He did not say face you. I will slap you.
Yeah.
Sad face. Yeah, so they end up going to Mercado's, which is another landmark in Los Angeles, which is an Ethiopian restaurant.
So good.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Right? So you've been.
I have.
Okay, oh my God.
Points over here.
You get the black points, yes. So this is where we get the famous, we're going to let you do the honors. Hmm? Oriana.
What's the honors?
They're going to dinner and they're talking about this breakup over text.
Right.
And
yes.
The conversation, Issa's like trying to figure it out, but
what's
not
wrong?
Really.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? And she says you have a
broken pussy.
Okay.
And it makes Marge sound.
Why does it make
such a writing on that?
No.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. It's awfully brilliant, but it's awful.
Yeah.
Can you all imagine being in that room as they was writing this show?
No.
I know they had the most fun.
What does it sound like?
I would have been in there dying.
No. It had to be amazing, to be a fly on the wall, to watch HBO read them. Right.
Yes. And to say yes. And to go for it. Yes.
It's huge.
It is huge.
Yeah.
And it's needed.
Agreed.
This show is needed. This show is needed.
Yeah.
The writing is so fresh.
Yeah. The writing
is so on point.
I love that it doesn't stray very far from Awkward Black Girl, which I watched over and over and over again. The first season, second season. I was hoping for a third season. And I'm hoping that Pharrell would actually come on this show, because he's the reason why. Because I think eventually she didn't have enough money. And so Pharrell came on board, and that's how she got
season two,
which is amazing. So hopefully Pharrell will be a part of the show. So they leave and we meet Paula Ellis's son, J.R. Ellis, otherwise known as Lawrence. Now he is trifling. I'm sorry, that is not
a child I raised. So disclaimer right now.
That is not.
I don't know, man. I'm saying, like, I don't think he's trifling, because
you got excuses already. right.
I don't think he's trifling, because I've been in that predicament before.
On the couch
before.
In his underwear on her birthday.
And whatever else he
He's checked out as no good.
Right.
Okay, a little bit of. He's trying.
Trifle.
He's writing a business plan. You know what I'm saying? He's doing all that. So
if it takes you four years to write a business plan, you probably don't need a business. You need to go work.
Here's a question.
You have to roll out trifling. You can't just stop at trifling.
But here's a question. So this whole concept of standards are too high, but here we see Issa, who's clearly settled for less.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
and then we have Molly, the juxtaposition. You know, she's not making it easy on anyone, it doesn't seem like. Mm-hmm. But where is the middle ground? What do you feel from society? Like, what are you feeling is what you're supposed to do? I'm recently divorced. I felt the pressure to get married so strong that I did it for maybe not the right reasons. And so I'm looking at this show from that perspective of, like, what as women, are you single? Are you married? Like, how does this feel? Right now,
the struggle
as a man. Are you pressured to get married? Are you pressured to find the one?
I believe if you, like, I don't have a close family, so I feel like if you are like, if you have a close family, your family is pushing you to get married. But my peers, my friends, my homies, my boys,
single in LA. But I also think that's characteristic of Los Angeles and sort of the environment that we're around, that so many people are single and it's accepted that you're single. Like, if I were elsewhere or back home, I think I would feel the pressure a lot
more. Well, I feel like people here are always looking for the next best thing.
Yeah,
of course.
Like, that's the thing here in LA. It's like, once you get someone who's somewhat that you like, you're always going to be looking for the next
greener grass. Yeah. I haven't dated in LA, so I don't know.
Yeah, technically I didn't.
I'm abstaining.
It'll be interesting.
So if you weren't, what about your friends that aren't in LA?
I think it's generally a general consensus. I'm from Texas, so a lot of my friends that were married are now divorced, and so they're going through that whole dating process.
Sure.
So it is hard, especially for a black woman that wants to date a black man. But I love Yvonne Ordy when she said, yeah, they ain't checking for me, I'm not checking for them. So I think a lot of black women need to open up their borders and maybe date outside of the race. But that's another topic. And that was an Awkward Black Girl season number one. Okay,
so check it out on YouTube.
Let's get it back to it. So, actually, speaking of YouTube, when he's sitting on the couch and they decide to, you know, stay in, and he's like, let me finish watching this video. The video that they actually watch is Official Hodge Twins. If you guys don't know who they are, they're like super duper big time on YouTube making games. So, but they have like 9 million followers on YouTube. Yeah. So I thought it was really cool that she actually, used that into the
and
platform.
She does
that
though, right? All throughout just even this first episode.
Yeah.
There are people from the original series, although they might not be in a lead role, they still have a role. And I think that's just like amazing. It's speaks so much about who she is as a person.
I think it speaks a lot about Larry Wilmore too.
Because
he's really been the partner in this. And I mean,
what
silent partner, if you will. But such good
Your
writing.
First show out.
And a recognition of what the business is now. Like, they saw what the success was on YouTube, and to not completely
completely throw that away to try to like do something entirely different.
Well, money is colorblind, right? Mm-hmm.
This was her third show, I think, she ended up pitching that actually got picked up.
Yes. Because originally, I think she pitched this to, we're not going to say the other networks.
Different shows, though.
Yeah, yeah. They were different shows. This was a completely different show.
And they passed. And so Wilmer. She went kind of back to what? Her roots.
Which is Awkward Black Girls. Yeah, so now we have Insecure as F. Okay, so now we go to, they are about to, I think she gets a text. She gets a text while she's in the car dropping Molly off, and she gets a text, and it's from Daniel, the fine dude that she always, he was the what if guy. What if she really was not insecure? What if she really wasn't awkward? She's the guy. He's the guy that she would really have gone after. So they decide to go to Maverick's flat, which is pretty, it's on Crenshaw Boulevard.
She Facebooks him.
Remember?
Yes, she's a single. That's how they connect. Yeah.
And they go to Maverick's flat, and the line that Yvonne uses, does anybody know the line?
Why are we going to 1997?
Yeah.
Inglewood,
1997? Yeah. And Issa says something like, I heard it was a really good place. And she's like, where did you get that from? Your middle school crib? Yeah. I was like, that's like so great comeback.
Yeah, that was a great comeback. So she gets in, they get in, and they're, she runs into some guy. Like, Yvonne is dancing. And then we, I love the awkward moment. Yeah. Like, that was so mean.
That was so good.
That was just like...
No, well, he goes for the handshake, right? But you were laughing out loud, right?
That was where he holds
Molly's hand, he doesn't even like, go, hey. I made my commitment. That's probably as far as the commitment's going to go.
Right, pretty much.
But in Issa's defense, he greeted both of them. He said ladies. Yes. So, like, to think that you would also give your
kind
name.
Kind of passive-aggressive. Like, oh, kind of not cool. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a single woman, and if you're meeting me and my girlfriend, I would want you to be nice to her too.
I'd look at that
at least introduce yourself. That doesn't mean that you have to be more interested in me or her, but at least shake her hand. You know,
that's like one red flag of Molly's.
Me too.
Like, we now look at that and go, okay,
girl,
if this is acceptable. It's the whole standards thing.
Yeah, totally. Because I would be the friend that'd be like,
Excuse me, do you not get my friend?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'd be that chick. So, but that's just me. I'm not Molly. I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of both of them. But anyway, that's another story. Yeah. Okay, so then Daniel, you have something to say?
Yeah, I just thought about something. When we were introduced to Molly, when the scene came in, and she was like, this is my friend Molly. Black people like her and white people like her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good.
I was trying to figure out if they were saying because her name is Molly. Yeah. I was like, Molly, like Molly.
The drug.
Yeah, and I was just like, is that
I actually thought the same thing.
Double entendre.
Everybody loves it.
I was just like, wait a minute, what are you trying to say?
I'm sure it was. I called Chase out too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes. That's an interesting perspective, Cortez. Mm-hmm.
I like that they show two sides of it, right? Yes. They say this is the Molly, white people love Molly, and then she says, and black people love Molly. Yeah. And she's slapping down.
She's the Will Smith of corporate.
The Will Smith.
I love that.
That was a great line. Great line. So she's kind of contemplating with Lawrence, because did we talk about Lawrence and kind of the passive aggressive way that she broke up with him before she left out the door to Maverick's flat? We didn't talk about that. I love that part, because that's something I would do. I'm passive aggressive. So she kind of pseudo breaks up with him because she's kind of comfortable with this dude who's just there.
Yeah.
Right.
Really. So they go, and she is really just trying to see, like, she was like, he's the guy that I would be with if I was really doing what I really wanted to do.
Right.
He's that guy. And I think everybody has that guy. Mm-hmm. Mine is married now, but it's okay.
Mine is too, and I'm married too.
To him! Yes! Yay!
Girl.
Paula is like mine.
Winning over there.
She is winning. Very much winning.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I love, like, this is the person that I talk to about relationships, this lady right here, because she was like, are you lowering your standards? I guess I am. Thank you. So we get to the favorite. I think this is like the part that everybody is talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tried to do my rap. That's why
it was good.
Oh, it was good.
Great. You can work on it for next time.
Yeah.
Okay. We're always improving.
Oh, wait. We forgot to talk about
the lipstick scene. We didn't talk about the lipstick scene.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. My other favorite part was the lipstick montage before she goes to the club.
How many times have you done something like that? Like, put it up, whether it's an outfit or your hair, like trying on different personalities and faces. Her rhymes, I'm sorry, but Pussy Parmesan.
That is so hot.
That was
dope.
You hungry?
You're right. That was That was the black lipstick.
Yes, she was. That was black lipstick. That was her Missy Elliott.
Like, yeah. Lipstick.
Do y'all really do that for real?
I do it in my brain. I don't actually like keep putting lipstick on and wiping it off because that's a pain in the butt. But I do it in my brain. I'm like, okay, am I going to be all red today? Because red means a lot. Like, it's strong. It means a lot. Like, do I want dark? I go through that thought in my brain.
And I never wear lipstick because of all those things. I'm like, so just like her, chapstick at the end. I'm like, too strong, too orange, too red, too scary.
That's kind of like where you end up, right? Yes. You do put on these colors and then you kind of talk yourself out of them and you end up with that kind of neutral, same color.
And it's that insecure thing of like, Am I powerful enough? Because, I mean, listen, I've worn bright lipstick and some guy will go, your lips are orange. And that's enough for me to be like, well, I'm not wearing that again.
Yes.
I do that with cologne.
That's my
I agree. I've had that.
I've done it with cologne.
You leave the house smelling like a French whorehouse because you try
probably
on all
Probably so, because I do. I really do. It depends on what I have on. Like, I have a cologne for when I wear, a suit and stuff like that. Like, a certain cologne.
So if someone says something to you and it's too strong, does that bother you, or?
Well, I know how to put on cologne. I'm not going to and then be walking around and be like, oh, that's too strong.
It smells like cologne. I know, right? I'm joking over
here. See, I don't even have a cologne. See that? But no, I think it just depends on like what I feel. If I feel like putting on Versace, I'm gonna put on Versace. I'm gonna put on Burberry.
Wait, so how do you put on cologne? Because I know how women do it. We kind of missed it and then walked through it. How do you do it?
Oh no, I do the pressure point.
Yeah, I do that. My ears, and I do with some of my clothes. Yeah, it depends on
what was the poop?
That was just maybe. To the back.
Okay.
Maybe it's back here. Maybe it's on the neck. You know.
Okay.
You don't spread your hair?
Yeah, I do it right here on the sides.
Definitely. Okay. So if someone hugs me, it gets like everywhere.
But I love the idea of her like putting on all these different faces of who she's going to be that night, right? Like her birthday was. I'm sorry, but Molly's not a good friend. Like it's her birthday. All she does is steal the thunder. Everything is personal, right? Womp womp. Poor me.
That's so true. Yeah.
And then she's putting on these faces to go out, and I feel like it's her time to shine. She didn't get a birthday. No one's was celebrating her, and she finally like. Picks up the mic, right? She finally does something for herself. Like, she That's finally so puts it true. Out there. And the experience is amazing. I don't know what you guys
thought. I thought it was good. Unlike my experiences I just had. I thought it was really good. I like that she kind of started, like, a little uptick. Like, started
like,
here.
Are we gonna, is it gonna collapse? But then she settled into it, and it was nice to have that
She
moment.
Was confident,
Do you think it was about Molly?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Really?
She I don't think it was about Molly. I think it like got her to get those lyrics.
Inspired by Molly.
Yeah, inspired. But I don't think it was necessarily about
It wasn't an attempt to dig at Molly, but it was definitely like...
Because if that's your best friend, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you will.
I'm not going to do that in front of her.
Why not? You're an artist.
That's my best
she wrote a poem.
Yeah.
I was upset with Molly because I was like, Molly, you're supposed to be all like, get it, girl.
Yes.
You're supposed to be able to laugh at yourself. Yeah.
And she already Molly dissed her by not like representing her with the guy. Yeah. And then this, it's like, you did this to me. And it's like, maybe this was a big moment for her.
And you know what I read? I read something that they said it was, I think it was on AMP, and they were talking about how when you look at best friends, how sometimes you don't, when you're really best friends, you don't care what you say. There's no filter. But I agree with you, Cortez. I really think she should have been like, go, even though this is about me. I can't believe that
first
she
of all,
told
I say that in front of the guy.
What?
Right?
What was that?
Like
he didn't have to know at all. Like,
she's just self-sabotaging everywhere she goes, right? Yeah. She had a chance.
I like that.
She killed it.
But was she really trying to tell him, or was it just kind of a response? Yeah, I kind of took it as, oh my God, I can't believe you would get up there and say that about me. Knowing, like, this is sensitive to me right now. Yeah. That's kind of how I took it.
Yeah, but I'd also be the one like, that's me. She made a hot rap about me. Yeah. Like, she could, I mean.
I wouldn't have said that in front of the guy that I
feel like she just tagged it too hard, though. She was just like, yeah, that's me. Yeah. It's about me.
Those are inside thoughts.
Because
if your best friend wouldn't say your pussy smells, she was like, maybe it smells. So I was like,
oh yeah, she did these two rough. It's
what right. I was like, I don't think your best friend would say
inspired by.
That's what I was like. Yeah, but that's what.
Because it's a joke. That's why the friend was supposed to laugh, be all sensitive about it. Right. Like, she obviously, I would assume, doesn't think your pussy smells.
Right.
Funny.
But it does show that Molly's way more insecure than, like, she shows. Oh, she's Will Smith, but obviously underneath, like, holy shit, there is nothing holding her together. Yeah. One little thing and she's falling apart.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, you took the words out of my head and into my mouth.
But isn't that the
whole
journey and very character? Yeah. What you're going to see about them is every one of them showed us their insecurity, right? Mm-hmm. That we're going to probably see play out in some form or fashion on the show, right? Sure. Lawrence has no confidence in this. He's spitting on people in interviews. You can't get a job. You can't. And again, that's not the way I raised him.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know, there's moments when I was watching him on a previous show he was on, there were moments where I would see the character of my son come out, you know, the character he was playing. I would have to catch myself like, wait a minute, would you really do that?
That's a good performance.
That's a good actor.
Yes. And I would call him. You know, I just watched the episode. I just wanted to be clear. Like, that wasn't really you, right?
That's funny.
It is kind of weird to see, like, if you have friends that are actors or movies or whatever, you see a friend on television, you're like, wait, would you really do that? You did that kind of good. Yeah. You did that kind of too good now.
Right. Well, but think about it. That's why the, you know, your fans think they know you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's the scary part.
It is scary.
I know you know, so like, true. No, that's really just the character.
But in this show, though, like, I think they opened up a lot about our culture and as black people. It's just like, even just the way they talk, like even how they don't say biz, they say especially when Molly says it, it's just like,
well, it hasn't been whitewashed.
What?
The show.
It hasn't.
Yes.
I mean, it's got, like, it is authentic, right? I mean, it may be caricatures, of course, because that's how we tell stories, but, like, it hasn't had that executive, you can't say that. Yeah. You know, or that's too urban. Like, this is real.
And I love it, because you see the code switch. You see, like, with your girls, and this is what you're saying. And this is if we're at work, this is something else, because you have to be received a certain way at work, and, like, all of that.
So Molly's tone did change, that I think about it. Her tone did change when she got to work. She's like, oh, what did I miss? You know, that.
So and then
like,
she went to the bathroom and broke down on the phone.
Jesus did it.
And then she called him a nigga.
She called Jesus a nigga. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, she said he's the one that did that. I was like,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
You homie, but I'm not going to call you.
I didn't even notice.
I was like,
I didn't notice.
Yeah. You didn't notice that?
I noticed Jesus. Like, Jesus gave her a broken pussy, but no, I didn't notice.
Because this nigga gave me a broken pussy.
They went all the way.
They definitely went all the way.
Totally.
You can't pull back from that one. Which is another example of why this is a really special show.
Yeah. And we have 2 minutes left, so we're going to talk about she's in the car with Daniel. Yes. He brings her Moscato. He brings up Drake. And he was like, why is it that every college girl loves Drake? And I'm like, that is so true.
He understands us.
He sure does. Then we end up back at Molly's house because Molly basically told her, if you sleep with him, then you're basically a loser. You're going to sleep after Moscato and then you in the car. What y'all going to do?
So and he was clearly like a relationship,
right?
Well, it was interesting because she wasn't saying she wanted a relationship, but when he said that he didn't, she realized that's what she wanted. And she didn't even know that's what she wanted.
Me too. Yeah, that's a good observation.
Or she definitely didn't want to be a hit it and quit it chick that
night.
Like,
not that night with Moscato.
No, for some Moscato girl. Because I was worried she was going to go in and just go ahead and do it.
She was insecure.
And she was getting excited on the drive. She was starting to get pumped up about it.
But I'm glad she said no. But I was confused as to why she brought Cheetos and ranch dip. Can somebody explain that to me?
I know.
Were they really about to dip the Cheetos in is that a thing?
It must be their thing. Can you find out and tweet us, please?
Let us know.
Cheetos and ranch.
I've never seen that.
Pizza and ranch. Yes.
Pizza and ranch.
Yeah, that's a white girl. That's a white girl.
It's a white girl.
Okay, here's a good joke for you. How do you get a sorority girl to suck your dick?
A study girl.
Sorority girl. You put some ranch on it.
I went to a white school.
See?
Okay, so that went over my head.
Yeah.
That wow. did too.
Ranch yet. On pizza, ranch on anything, really.
Ranch on
Oh!
White girls, get it?
Cortez break got it, guys.
Down. Sorry.
Ding, 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 ding.
Like, okay, that just so went.
It went up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, what? Put get ranch on it?
Yeah.
I guess because.
You don't like ranch.
It's a thing.
That's not a black person.
Bringing cultures
thing.
Together here one day at a time.
Thank you. One at a time.
Yes. I say hot sauce is a black people thing.
Yeah. Hot sauce.
For the awareness that you're bringing.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, and speaking of hot sauce in my bag, the young lady who directed Lemonade is the person who is actually the cinematographer for
Insecure,
which is amazing.
She's one of the executive producers.
Yeah, she's one of the executive producers. So her last name is Masukas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Melina Masukas. So I think okay. So I love that the next show is something as F. Yes. Then the other one is messy as F. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the word, but you know, you get the picture.
You get
so,
it, right?
I think we talked about pretty much everything. But did you guys watch at the end? Because I watched it on HBO Now, which you could get on your cell phone or your laptop. So that's how I watched it. I'm excited about the second episode.
Are we gonna see Daniel again? You think we're gonna see Daniel again? Oh, that's it for Daniel.
Yes, no, Daniel comes back with like,
with
some hair and more facial hair. That beard action is really, he's coming back.
He's going to keep fishing. I miss you. Happy birthday. Yeah. I miss you. Like, he's fishing.
Yeah, he's fishing, and I think he really wants a relationship. He's been passive aggressive. So, yes, he is. Oh. I'm Madison Chase, and this is AfterBuzz. This is Black Hollywood Live.
I told you.
We're all confused.
I'm so confused. Black Hollywood
Live.
Yeah. You could find me on Twitter at Madison Chase Fit, on YouTube, One Mad Chase. Everybody else, tell them where they can find you.
Paula Bryant Ellis. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at P. Bryant Ellis.
Probably so pretty. what's going on, everybody? You can follow me on all social media outlets. It's Cortez G. West.
I wish. Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo. Instagram and everything else is at Oriana Leo.
So spell that.
O-R-I-A-N-A. L-E-O literally means golden lioness in Italian.
Mine is not that complicated. My Courtney Stewart, I'm everywhere at Stewart Starlet because somebody got my name.
And you're a star.
And I'm a star.
You're a star, bro. Thank you guys for watching.
Thank you.
Leave comments. Bye-bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.